You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking at buy low players in trades for fantasy basketball, plus a quick injury update. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
And this has just happened 10 seconds before I hit record on this show. Tom Bryant, the Tank from the Washington Wizards, has been diagnosed with a stress reaction in his foot and he will be out at least 3 weeks. You would have to think this is a 5-week injury, will be my guess. For Bryant, these things don't heal quickly, for big men in particular, and for teams that are shit, the healing process often takes longer. So this means that Flaming Mo Wagner... He is a must-roster guy in every single league. It also helps Rui Hachimura, who is going to have to play the backup center minutes because Yan Mahinmi is not in action. And Hachimura, last game when Wagner was out, he played a ton of minutes, played 38 minutes and looked a lot better. Now, I don't like Hachimura's game overall, but this gives him that opportunity. If he's playing 35 instead of 25 minutes, that makes him a must-roster player. So go and have... Of course, Davis Bertans is already a must-roster player. We have said that ad nauseum. Add him. Add Wagner, and Hachimura is the guy behind them. So they are the three guys who really benefit from this Tom Bryant news. Not a great sign for Bryant. Maybe that's why he was struggling so much the last couple of games. But go and add Bertans, go and add Wagner, and go and add Hachimura. Now, let's talk about what we were set to talk about here initially, and that is buy low players. The first one of these guys I want to talk about is Kemba Walker of the Boston Celtics, who over the last 2 weeks is 107th. Now, some of that is because he did have that neck injury, but he has still played 29 and a half minutes, so almost 30 minutes a game. It's only a couple of minutes off where he normally is. But part of the reason why he's so far down the rankings list is he's shooting 36% from the field. Only 36% on his twos, 35% on his threes. Over the course of the year, he started out really hot. He's dropped back now to be the 31st ranked player, sort of in line with where I had him to begin the season. Just didn't think he'd be able to maintain that high usage that he had in Charlotte, and that's been the case. But weirdly, his efficiency is well down. This is a guy who was at 43% each of the last two seasons, and the prevailing wisdom is, well, Josh, yes, his usage will go down, his minutes will go down, but because he's surrounded by better players, his efficiency will go up. And I did buy into that to a degree. It has not been the case. 40% overall for the season, still shooting 39% on threes. So even if he gets back to his regular value of where he was last year in terms of his field goal percentage, then there is still value to get out of Kemba. So he is a guy to look at if we're expecting some of this shooting to at least get back to average levels. And then there is still the possibility that it gets better than that with those better teammates and the shots still go in at a higher level. But I think we're seeing that a lot this year. Like Mike Conley, better teammates, he's going to shoot better. Donovan Mitchell, now he's got better players, his percentage will go up. Kemba Walker, better teammates, his percentage will go up. It doesn't necessarily always happen that way. And I think we're seeing that happen a lot this year. The next guy I want to talk about, many will disagree.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
Mitch Robinson has not been good. I think we're well aware of that. Numerous factors. His fouling, his coaching, his actual play, all of that stuff. And over the last 2 weeks, Mitch Robinson is the 218th ranked player. Encouragingly, he's played 23 minutes a game during that time, but there's been some weird things going on. 10% usage, 11% usage actually, 5 points per game. The 70% field goals are down to 59. He's still blocking 2 shots a game. He's getting 6 rebounds, but no assists, no steals, low free throw percentage. Now, Robinson was a guy that I talked about a lot in the preseason, and one of the things I mentioned with him is he's got strengths in certain categories, field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks. That's where the strength lies. The problem is, because of his foul trouble, because of the coaching, is that he can be quite fluctuable. He can have 5 blocks in a game and then have 0 blocks in a game. Yeah, and that averages out to 2.2 blocks per game. And that's fine. But in a head-to-head weekly scenario, is you're so up and down that giving those high variance players is a tough risk to do. a high variance player is more useful in a roto setting, but because he contributes so little and is a negative in many categories, he's a hard roto roster guy, which always made him quite a draft day conundrum. And of course, he was getting drafted significantly higher than what he should have been in many cases. And I think I had him in the end in maybe like a fourth or fifth round type area. I thought he'd play more minutes than this and be able to at least solve that foul trouble, because we did have a 10 or 15 game sample at the end of last season where he consistently stayed out of fouls. So that is, it's been bad. He's been worse than I expected, but those conundrums still exist. He's too inconsistent for a head-to-head league, and he's got too many negatives for a roto league, which sort of leaves him in no man's land. And he's a shit points league player, so there are so many different concerns. But in saying that, people are dropping him. You can get him for absolutely nothing at the moment. And the fact that the minutes have been up for him in the last few games, 31, 29, 20, and then 24, that's encouraging. He had 6 blocks in those last 4 games. He had 14 rebounds last game. There are significant concerns still, but as in terms of getting him at a really cheap price, this is the time to do it. Lauri Markkanen is still a little bit of a buy low guy. I did just mention him because he is the 214th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. His last game against the Kings was an indication that, yes, he can be a better shooter. Still, with that game where he shot 50%, he's at 35% overall over the last 7 games. The free throws aren't going in at the same rate. He cannot hit his twos. He's never going to get assists or steals or blocks, but at least if the shot goes in, we can see the minutes go back up, the scoring goes back up, the efficiency goes back up, obviously, and that will help his overall numbers. I think Jeff Teague's worth looking at.
My name is Jeff.
Mainly because people see the benching for Jarrett Culver, and then they look at it and tie it with a ranking and go, well, he's 157th over the last 2 weeks. He's been benched. Why do I want to have him? Why would I want to hold on? Well, the reason is that despite coming off the bench, he's still playing more minutes than Jarrett Culver every night. He's still giving us 7 assists per game over the last 5 games. And the reason he's down so far is because he's shooting 29% from the field. He's also averaging 0.8 steals. So that can go up. The shooting can definitely go up. Now, he's not a great 3-point shooter. In fact, he's a terrible 3-point shooter. But I think we expect more than 9 points per game and more than 29% shooting from the field. So if those things go back up, then he jumps back into that top 100 discussion. Doesn't matter if he's starting or coming off the bench. If you're playing 30 minutes, you're playing 30 minutes. And hopefully this can help his usage. Those assists can stay pretty steady. And I don't really see Culver being able to play 30-31 a night. This is more of an a lineup optimization rather than cutting the minutes of someone. Now, I've said multiple times that for Dynasty Leagues, this is Teague's last year as a starter in the NBA. It ended a lot quicker than I expected. But in terms of starters' minutes, this is the last year he plays starters' minutes in the NBA. Let's talk about another buy low guy, Big Chungus. Nikola Jokic is the 34th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He was the consensus number 6 player, and that's looking pretty bad at the moment. His efficiency is off. The assists aren't as high. His usage is low. He's has been disinterested, although to be fair, he is a lot more interested these days and he's playing better basketball, but still not elite. So when we look at Jokic, who is 34th over the last 2 weeks, 37th over the course of the season, what is different? Well, it's the field goal percentage for a start. He was at 51% last season, so there's significant room to improve there. But troublingly, his free throw rate is absolutely in the toilet. Last season, he took 4.5 free throws a game, which when you're shooting 82% is big. This year, not only is he shooting under 77% from the line, a negative amount, but he's doing it on only 2.5 attempts per game. So that's almost a drop. It's almost cut in half his free throw rate. Like, why is that happening? His blocks are down. His assists are down. His rebounds are the same. His three-point shooting is somehow worse, 23% and 17% over his last 5 games. And the usage is down at 24%. Now, the fact that Will Barton is back, he is taking a lot of these shots, and that is some of the issues I've had with Barton in the past. As he comes in and he hijacks offenses and hijacks shots, he's playing really well at the moment, but is it a good idea to play well and also minimize your best play, which tends to be what happens with Barton and why I've had issues with him in the past? But there's still a lot here that can improve for Jokic. Can his free throw percentage improve? Of course. Can his three-point percentage improve? Of course. Can his field goal percentage improve? Yes, all those things can happen. Can the assists come back? Can the usage jump back up? All of those things are possibilities. You're looking at a third-round player at the moment. I think you should be looking at him probably upside as maybe top 12 at this point. I don't think he's getting back into the top 10. The Barton factor probably takes it away from me. But he is still a buy-low guy with the frustrations obviously mounting. The next guy that we take a look at, Blake Griffin. I think he was on this list last week, Griffo. He is still struggling, 177th over the last 2 weeks in 30 minutes a game, and he's scoring 18 points per game, so that's not the problem. The problem is he's giving us half of the assists that we got last year, 2.8 per game. His anemic steals and block numbers are somehow worse as well, 0.2 steals, 0.3 blocks, just 43% from the field as well, and only 5 rebounds. So there's a lot that's wrong with Griffin, and I don't think, and I didn't think, we should ever have expected him to do the sort of things that he did last season. That was foolish to expect that sort of thing. But he's averaging 6 fewer points per game. The percentage, true shooting is down from 58 to 53, a significant drop. Assists, 5.4 down to 2.8 the last 2 weeks. Steals are cut in half. Blocks are still piss poor as per usual. Free throw rate is down also. So there are numerous things here that Griffin, and the minutes still aren't where they need to be. So while he's not getting back to being the 39th ranked player that he was last season, expect like a top 70, top 80 at best type scenario for Griffo. He is better than what we're currently being dished up. Rob Covington, a player that I think we need to talk about here, who is the 133rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, only 28 minutes, and the minutes continue to be a problem. It's not a minutes restriction thing, because we've seen him play 33 or 34, and if you've got a minutes restriction, you don't play those, no matter the circumstance, so that's not it. The shooting is off, 38%. Steals and blocks, still there, 1.3 steals, 1.3 blocks, although with Covington, we hope for 2 steals. But under 4 rebounds as a power forward, only 1.5 threes. There are significant issues here with him now. I don't think he's going back to being a top 50 sort of a player. I think he maybe can get there, but I'm not sold on that. But he can be much better than what we're currently seeing with Covington. With that percent, those percentages going up, more rebounds coming, the steal rate also jumping back up. All of those are realistic possibilities for Covington for the rest of this season. Next guy we talk about, Miles Turner. I don't expect Turner, much like with Covington, much like with Griffin, I don't expect him to be the guy that he was last season, but he is still shooting under 40% from the field in his last 6 games, averaging 10 and 5. The 2.7 blocks are there. That's still nice, and that's really buoying his value, but his overall shooting percentages are terrible. His usage playing alongside Domantas Sabonis and his rebound rate takes a monster hit. So we are not looking at Turner as the 32nd best player, which he was last season. Like, that's not who he is. I think he can be the 60th guy, a 70th guy maybe, but he can be better than the player that's outside the top 100 currently. And the last guy we talk about is a player that I did reference earlier. It is Don Mitchell of the Utah Jazz.
He's Don. He's good.
His recent production hasn't really been where we want it to be. 52nd ranked player there, 24 points per game, but shooting just 40% from the field, averaging only a steal, 1.4 steals and under 3 assists per game. They are the concerns. Now, there's obviously room for him to get better in those areas. He can shoot better than 40%, and it's part of that Conley situation that we spoke about earlier, that adding a better teammate to your team doesn't necessarily mean that all your percentages start to increase. I think we are pretty clearly seeing that with multiple examples. But Mitchell can be better than this. He can get those assist numbers to jump up a little bit more. The efficiency can jump up. He's 44% over the season, so that's 4 percentage points higher than where it is over the last couple of weeks. So there is still room for Don to get better, and it might be a little bit of a buy low. Maybe he tops out as a top 30 player this season. I think that's a realistic type possibility, but for now, he's not in that zone, so that makes him a buy low player. That'll do it for today's podcast, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Tell me if you have any of these buy low guys on your roster. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.